They sang the first time years ago, but I really liked them. I met them Sunday or Friday night after the football game, and Carlene introduced me to them, and they said they were old friends, and going back to what, third or fifth grade? 5 years old. Okay, so I said, so were you friends with Russ too? And they both looked at me and said, no. They said, nobody claims to be friends with Russ. I loved them right away. I thought that was great. But we appreciate the singing and that time of prayer this morning. It's just, we did that a couple weeks ago, and it's just those times of prayer. I'm just so encouraged at that. A couple weeks ago, I hadn't planned it. This one, I knew we were going to do it. But just a couple weeks ago, when people just shared their burdens and their hearts and personal things that they're dealing with, it was just a powerful time. And that's really what the body of Christ is called to do. We're going to be talking this morning in membership class number 8. If you don't have a sheet, they were back there. Just hold your hand up. Paige has some in her. With her here, Joe in the back, Paige, Joe in the back row. You'll be filling out some of the items here. But the principles of giving, I put up here, embracing biblical principles of giving, and that's really what we're going to be talking about. We go through this in our membership class so people have an understanding of really what tithes and offerings are about. I wasn't sure I was going to share this, but I will. I had a fellow, I let some of you know, or mentioned this to some of you already, but a fellow came to see me a couple months ago, and he was just asking about our church. And if I told you his name, a lot of you would know him. But he came and he just asked about our church and just asked me some questions and said, does your church do this? Does your church practice this? And there were some things I said, no, we wouldn't do that. And some other things I said, yes, this is what we would believe. This is how we teach. This is what we do. And he said, he's not real happy in the church. He's in the area, in an area church. And he said, I'm not real happy here, but I'd love to come to Draper, but my wife has attended this church for many years and doesn't really want to leave. But he said, I think I'm going to give you our tithes, or at least my tithes and offerings. And all of you are aware of our financial need in the church. So he stopped in to see me this week and pulled out of his backpack. He said, I told you a couple months ago I wanted to give you my tithes. So I looked on the envelope and it had $122 written on it, and I thought, well, that's very nice. But I thought for a couple months, offering that wasn't super super large. But he left, and I turned it over, and it had $1,222 written on it. And I counted; it was $1,222 that someone really felt that they wanted to give to our church. And I just said, what an answer to prayer with October coming up and a lot of expenses were paid. We're doing very well right now with October with our missions conference and our insurance coming due and just some different things, tax bill, school bill, right, which we have to pay. We've had guys talk about, let's just not pay some of those taxes. Well, we wouldn't be meeting next week if we don't pay our taxes. But just that was just such an answer to prayer in the week that we're talking about giving. So our church certainly needs the finances, and we want to do what God has called us to do as a body. And we're not doing anything extravagant. With Awana starting in a few weeks, we'll have some expenses with that. But we want to honor the Lord with what he gives to us. We don't want to ever keep it. We don't want to invest it and have it just $1 million bank account that we can draw from. We trust God's people to provide for God's work. So let's ask the Lord to bless our time here. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. I pray, Lord, for this time of looking at your word, but thank you for the time of prayer as well, Lord, for being able to pray specifically for our country and for those who are hurting. Lord, we just heard this morning of the football player Watts down in Houston who had a goal of reaching $250,000 for the victims down there, and it's already up to $17 million. So we know, Lord, your resources are out there. We pray for our church. We're not asking for $17 million. We're just asking that you would help us to meet our commitments and, Lord, to be able to even to increase our missions budget for next year. Lord, we have faith that we're doing your work, and we pray that you would honor it and just provide for us. Lord, we pray as we look at this topic that can sometimes be very touchy with people, that you would just bless our time together. Thank you for the music this morning, for the singing, for the songs that we sang, for coming before your throne. Lord, we realize that's where our needs are met. But Lord, for sunshine in my soul, and Lord, just surely the presence of the Lord, we know that. You're here this morning, and we pray that you would be honored and glorified and through the meetings to follow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Principles of giving is is always a tough subject for a pastor to talk on. A lot of pastors don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't normally talk about it other than usually the first 2 weeks in January, as we kind of set that aside for stewardship weeks. And that's normally the only time I address it. As far as a message, we'll remind you of what our need is for our church. But this morning, we're going to be looking at these, and I hope it'll be interesting for you. And just a reminder that these are principles from the Word of God. These aren't something that the deacon sat down and said, well, how can we make people give to our church? These are principles that have been around since the Word of God has been around. So, number one, the principles of giving. Giving honors the Lord. Giving honors the Lord. And we'll go through these because we have communion to follow and then we have those meetings. So we won't spend a lot of time reading all these verses. We're not going to look at all the scripture, but Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with what you have. Give to him and with the first fruits of your increase. And then God says, if you do that, then you'll have plenty. You won't have need. We hear people all the time who say, well, I just can't give. I can't help. I can't do anything. Are you tithing? You need to give to the Lord first. Every paycheck, everything you get in, you should give a tithe to the Lord. We would ask for it. Obviously, you give to your church first, and that's what he talks about in Scripture. You give to the place that ministers to you. But Family Life Ministries, CEF, the Teen Center, be in prayer for that. We have an open house this Tuesday night, inviting all the staff and administrations and parents to come, and then we kick off on the 12th. But those are ministries in our area, the Gideons, great ministries, but always give to your local church first. So giving honors the Lord. Second, giving is commanded. Giving is commanded. I just have everything that's on your sheet is up here on the screen. Everything I have comes from God. Everything I have is owned by God. I am to be a manager of what God gives to me. And get this, God's going to hold me accountable for my stewardship. If I am greedy and hold on to myself, God's going to hold you accountable for that. If you don't provide for those who are on the mission field, you don't provide for the church to do its ministries, God's going to hold you accountable to that. And then you see the comparison here. God's way, I am a manager. I am to be thankful. It's for the master's kingdom. Everything I have are just temporary, and I want to please God. Man's way, and you hear this all the time, I'm the owner. I'm proud of what I've gotten. It's my kingdom. I'm taking care of myself first. And there's a lot of people who look and they build and they think of everything as just being permanent. I'm going to have this home forever. I'm going to have this career forever. It's mine. And I want to please myself. Obviously, we want to do it God's way. And as a church, we want to do it God's way. And then number three up here, giving shows my dependence on God. That's a key, I think, for believers to understand is we are not to be dependent on a paycheck. There's people in our church and in our community who've lost jobs. There's people who businesses have closed. There's people who wonder how they're going to survive. But you don't stop giving when you lose a job. You give of what you have. Give out of your savings. You give to God. And I can share testimonies upon testimonies of people who have done that. They give. And I just read this morning, I think it was in the Daily Bread, or it was in my scripture reading in Matthew, where the widow gave just a couple pennies when all these other people were coming and giving tons of money. And Jesus said, she gave out of nothing. Those people gave out of abundance, so it really didn't matter a whole bunch to them what they gave. They could afford to do it, but this woman gave everything. And that's what we're talking about. She had dependence on God to provide for tomorrow. Number four, giving shows the level of my love for God. 2 Corinthians 8 says, just as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspire in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. And then he gives the example. It's Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. Giving shows your level or the depth of your love for God. Number five, and six are both up here, the principle of sow and reap. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread on the surface of the waters and you will find it in many days. Put it out and God will return it. And then the 2 Corinthians 9, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's not just a word that Paul wrote. That's inspired by God. You want to have more? Give more. It doesn't seem logical. It doesn't seem possible. But as I've said, I think my very first January here, we talked about that, and I challenged you to give far more than what you can think you can give. Not just to have it to the church, not just so we could have more money, because you've heard us say, as a board, we don't keep the money. If we had $10,000 extra come in for this year, we're going to invest that next year. We're going to take on another missionary. We'll do something with it. We're not going to keep it and invest it to have bigger meals here or better fellowship time. We're going to use it for God's ministry around the world. So the principle of sow and reap. And then things need to be done cheerfully. Giving is to be done cheerfully. I don't know how many of you wrote a check out this week to the church or giving in your offering envelope and had a big smile on your face. Some of you might have been thinking, God, I'm going to do this because I want to be obedient to your word, but I don't know how it's, I can't afford this. But 2 Corinthians 9 says, each must do as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, not feeling like, well, if I don't give, God's going to send a lightning bolt down. But God loves a cheerful giver. Having a praise time in your heart for being able to give to the Lord. And if you can give more and say, God, I just am so thankful that I can do this. I have friends who've been putting on stuff on Facebook, and they said, I just wish I could go. I wish I could help in Texas. But all I can do is pray. There's others who said, I can't afford a whole lot, but I'm just going to send in $5 or $10. And they made a pledge. There was different places you could pledge 800 numbers and stuff going on and just trust that the people get that it's not a scam. But giving should be done cheerfully. To be able to say, I'm able to give. God has blessed me. I want to use it for his work around the world. You've already probably filled this out. Giving shows where my treasure is, where my heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I feel so bad for people who all they have is their bank account. All they have is their trust fund. All they have is their retirement. And I know I've shared this before, but I probably shared it several times before. But we watched people in our last church from Corning Incorporated, when that big thing hit back in the early 2000s, go from being millionaires to having nothing. And Cheryl and I know them very well, friends of ours who all their retirement, and some of those guys had just retired from being big shots at Corning Incorporated, and their retirement was a lot of it in stock, and some of them had several $1 million in stock. And then they came in the next week at church and they just said, we lost it all. We have nothing. And God provided for them, but their heart was not in their bank account. Their heart was not in their retirement fund. And I am so thankful for men and women who have a heart to say, what I have is God's, and I want to use it for ministry. And again, I'm not just saying just Draper Baptist Church, but in ministry around the world. We have our missionaries who give everything to go and to serve on the field. Number 8, giving is a safe investment. I remember hearing a pastor speak about that when I was a kid and thought, how's it really a safe investment? I didn't understand. I was probably 13, 14. I was tithing. I had a paper out, and I was tithing, but I remember saying it was a safe investment, and I just couldn't quite understand in my young mind how that was true. But the scripture does tell us, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thieves can break in and steal. God is taking our investment, and I've always often asked myself, what am I investing? What does my home in heaven look like? If it's my mansion is going to be based on what I send ahead, I'm going to be living in a shack. In some ways, that you could say that, but there's others, and because Donald Trump gave $1 million this year doesn't mean he's a better giver than you. It means he was able to give out of his abundance. But give out of your love for the Lord, and it's a safe investment. Nothing's going to destroy what we send ahead. I like these three weren't for me. Heavenly rewards for me. That's what it is. When I invest in eternity, it's a heaven investment for me. Allows the church to continue to minister effectively at home and throughout the world, and will affect others for eternity. Folks, that's why you give. That's why we take an offering. Affecting someone for eternity. It could be here. It could be in our Awana program. We were talking to some people at the football game the other night whose kids come to Awana, and they were just saying they're so excited about starting in a couple weeks. And I know they know the Lord, but there's kids who come here, and they're going to be memorizing Scripture, and they're going to be hearing lessons, and there's kids who have never heard the gospel before. When you give and you pray, and you pray for the teen center, there's going to be kids you'll probably never meet unless you come and visit us some Tuesday. But they're being impacted for eternity. When the Gideons come, man, what a ministry the Gideons have of placing Bibles in a hotel room or in a doctor's office. And they'll never see the people who pick them up and maybe whose lives are changed. But when we give, it's an eternal impact and an eternal investment. I just love that point. Number 8, giving is a safe investment. Number 9. What is tithing? Tithing is giving out of my increase or what I earn. Giving is just simply what I earn, what I get in my paycheck, what I work for. It's giving out of that. And then tithing is scriptural. Before the law, in the law it said there were three different tithes, one for the priests and the Levites, one for the day of holy days and the festival, and one every 3 years for the poor. And I know I've said this before as well. I can't remember the exact number, but they say people like to say 10% for a tithe. That's what Christians today say. Well, if I give 10%, I'm tithing. Well, the Old Testament tithe, I think it worked out to about 33% of a Jew's income between those tithes. It was far beyond 10%. So I want you to understand that. It's giving out. It's doing it joyfully. After the law, we are under grace, not law, but it is always to be done regularly and systematically. It doesn't just have to be on Sundays. You could give online. You can write a check, which someone gave me some money for the Abraham's car fund. I'm going to be writing a check out for that and sending that in. A guy came into my office and gave me $1,200. It's just to be done. He had set that aside week after week, I guess, and then brought the sum to me. But he did it systematically. He did it regularly. And we're so thankful for that and for all of you who give. So some questions to consider as we close here before our communion time. Does my present giving honor God? Only you can answer these, okay? I'm not trying to answer them for you. Does my present giving honor God? Does it show my love for God? Does it show that I'm a good steward of what God has given me? Does it show my dependence on God? Does it show a cheerful heart? Does it truly reveal where my heart is? And then just the thought to kind of wrap up this class would be, am I willing to trust God for tomorrow by giving sacrificially today? The deacons are going to meet in a few minutes after the communion time, and we're just going to talk about, you know, the giving toward our missionaries when they come in October and just a couple of other little items that we need to get over. But our men serve here because God's called them to serve, and they're responsible for investing what comes in. Pray for them. Pray that we'd be wise. Pray that we wouldn't move ahead of God, but we wouldn't be far behind him either, that we would be following him. And as God lays a missionary on our heart or a ministry, perhaps a need in our community, that we would not only have the desire to do it, but we'd have the money and the funds to be able to meet needs of people so we can communicate the gospel of Christ, because it is to affect eternity for other people. Lord, I thank you. We went through this quickly because, Lord, we had the communion time, but we also had the prayer time. But just thank you, Lord, for all that you gave us. We're thankful that Jesus gave himself. He didn't look and say, what am I going to get in return? How many people are going to trust me? Is the nails in the hand really going to hurt? The crown of thorns, is that going to really cause blood to flow? Or is this really worth it? Lord, he gave because you called him to give, and he was obedient to you. I pray, Lord, that I would be obedient. Lord, I pray that as a church we would be obedient, that our giving would just be abundant, Lord, that we would be able to do new ministries, we'd be able to take on new missionaries, we'd see ways to invest in the world. We pray, Lord, for ministries like Samaritan's Purse and the Gideons who need funds, for Family Life Network. Thank you for what they've accomplished and seeing their goals met. But Lord, we pray that other ministries and churches that have needs, that you would just meet those needs through your people. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for the people we have here. We pray that we would continue to grow in our relationship with one another, our relationship with you, and our impact in the world. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask our ushers to meet in the back. And